Good morning. There you go. That was so good, y'all, especially on Memorial Day weekend. We're going to start off a little bit different this Sunday than we normally do. It's something I've been doing on Wednesday night with our students. And I believe that it is both beneficial and obedient for the church to be gathered in prayer any chance we get. A little bit, I'm going to need a timer, so I'm going to get it out while I'm talking, but a little bit of why I want to do it. Is this week, last 2 weeks, month, 2 months, I've kind of lost track of time, I've been deeply burdened. I know many of you have as well. You've been deeply burdened with the idea that we need to be in repentance, that we need to be seeking after God. As we've gone through the first chapter of 1 Peter, and as we ended last week, this idea of be holy as Jesus is holy, that is hard. And I don't know if you were listening last week. I don't know if it was a rough weekend. I don't know if you just toned it out. But I don't know if you can have Christ and the Spirit dwelling within you and hear the challenge of be holy as I am holy and walk away without thinking about it every single day this last week. Because that's where I was. And a lot of you know that. I had a lot of phone calls this week. And I just said, hey, something I've been working on is if I ask you to pray for me, then I'm asking you to pray for me right then. Some of you have been able to experience that. So I have been praying with people. I've been talking to people. I have been confessing with people and just seeking after the Lord and what it means for me as one of your pastors to be holy. So what I want to do this morning is I want the church to gather in prayer. Like I said, we've been doing this on Wednesday night with the students and splitting them up, doing some prayer group stuff. We have a prayer wall down there where they can put prayer requests that's just between them and God. I'll never go through and read them. But for about 30 seconds, I want you to set down your phones, even if your Bible's on there. I want you to just repent. I want you to cry out to God. I want you to ask God to humble me, to speak through me, to open our hearts and open our ears, and just pray. Whatever that prayer might be for our church, the life of our church, our community, for the lost, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, for 30 seconds, I'm going to step off stage because it's weird if I'm up here, but for 30 seconds, I want us to gather as a church in prayer. Can we do that? All right, let's pray together. Amen. So I'm going to start off with a passage that we're not going to talk about, but Psalm chapter 1, it really hits on the idea that we've been talking about in 1 Peter. It'll hit on what we're talking about this morning and looking at what that nourishment in God's Word looks like. But the psalmist starts off as it is appropriate. The psalmist starts off with this first psalm. Psalm 1, how happy is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked or stand in the pathway with sinners or sit in the company of mockers. Instead, his delight, remember those who are happy, those who are pursuing God, instead his delight is in the Lord's instruction and he meditates on it day and night. He is like a tree planted beside flowing streams and bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. The wicked are not like this. Instead, they are like chaff in the wind that blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand up in the judgment, nor the sinner in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to ruin. As we go through, this has been my prayer for the last couple days, that the Lord would both separate those who are unrighteous and call them to repentance, that he would protect those who are righteous, and that as a tree planted beside the stream, that he would nurture us, but that we would seek out that nourishment as well. So that has been what is on my heart, church. I appreciate you gathering with me in prayer for just that small bit. We need to be in prayer. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying with one another. Please be praying for your pastoral staff. I will be the first one to tell you, I'm a youth pastor. That means I'm more transparent. I'm a loose cannon, sometimes a heavy hand. I'm tired. Our staff is tired. Be praying for us as we go into the summer season, as we try to lead and we try to just do what the Lord is calling us to do. I know that you are faithful. I see that faithfulness. Just please continue to be praying for us as we ourselves seek after what we talked about last week, is be holy as Christ is holy. For me, this is something that hit me, and I was talking to Donnie and Rob this morning, is I grew up hearing this over and over and over and over, is be holy as Christ is holy. But for me, and this is more of a confession than anything else, for me, this was unattainable. As I would hear that, and I would see the sin in my own life, and I would say, man, how am I, who's filthy, who's dirty, who's living in sin, who has these things that I'm apologizing for all the time, the struggles that I have, a guy pulls up in front of me, cuts me off in traffic, I drive down Van Buren in the morning, and I drive back at lunch, and the cones are back out, and it makes me angry, right? There's this sin in my life, how can I be holy? The scripture doesn't say, hey, believers, Jesus is holy, so try, you're going to fail, but try. It doesn't set it in front of us as something unattainable. Scripture tells us, and it feeds right into what we'll be talking about in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 today. Scripture lays this out of not an option, of if you are a believer, if you have been saved by Jesus Christ, if you have salvation, then be holy as I am holy. For 29 years, and as a reminder, I'm a child, I'm 29. 29 years. Again, a confession. I have believed that this was unattainable. And for the last 3 months, Christ, the Holy Spirit in me, has been pulling at me, saying, be holy as I am holy, and see that as attainable. If we don't see that as an attainable goal, then we'll never reach it because we're not trying. Holiness is through Jesus Christ. It's a house that we build every single day. We just sang that we are building our house on the rock of Christ. We see Jesus using this parable of build your house on the rock or build your house on the sand. The storms come and blow it away. On the rock we stand. He sets our foundation. This holiness and this foundation in salvation, this holiness that we are now building as a house constructed on the salvation and the foundation that Jesus has given us in the salvation. That's the free gift. Holiness is work. Holiness is every single day. The beautiful part about this is Jesus has set that salvation. He lived out a blueprint for holiness. Is remember, it's not be holy and I'm not going to tell you how. Be holy as I am holy. So he's given us a foundation. He's given us a blueprint of just be like me. Do the things that I'm doing. Not me, but Jesus. And then the last one is he has bought, delivered, and paid for every piece of the house that we need to construct. He has bought all the material. He has given us the plan. It's like going to IKEA and just putting together the instructions, which I hate, but, right? So we have everything we need to build this house and construct this house of holiness for Jesus. We are, as Scripture tells us, a temple being built for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So where is your house and where are you at in that construction? Some of you've been a Christian for 3 hours. You're like, man, Sunday school just really hit. I gave my life to Christ. I'm a new believer. You're right there. That house is going to be foundation floor level. Some of us have been a believer for 30 years and our foundation is still floor level. That's a challenge. That's hard. Some of you, and we see it and we know these people, is they have built this house of holiness. They're entering into what I like to call the seasoned saint era of their life, and they have this house constructed on Christ. They are living holy. They are pursuing Jesus. They are discipling those who are younger beneath them because they know they're not long for this world. They're going into the presence of God soon. They're doing everything they can to hold on to this legacy of Christ. All we have to do is build this house. And I make that sound easy because God has made it easy. We make it difficult. We look at this house and we want our own plan, right? And some of you have constructed. I did house renovation with my dad for 4 years through college. I learned how to do everything wrong, and I didn't do it long enough to figure out how to do it right. But we go into this and we're like, man, I know these materials are over here, but maybe I want to go with a cheaper option because I want to store those in my shed. I want to hold on to what Christ has given me, and I want to go with the cheap option. I don't want the pure milk that we'll talk about today. I'd rather have the 2%, right? It's mainly water. We hear this, and we're like, man, I don't want to be a part of a church that challenges me to righteousness and holiness, and I want to be a part of a church that makes me feel good on a Sunday morning. And I really wish that was this morning, guys. I'm waiting for a sermon I can preach where I walk away feeling great, not convicted the entire week. I really am. But that's all we want, right? We want to build the house using something cheaper than what God has given us. we look around and we see our neighbors. We see King David do this all throughout the Psalms. God, how long will the unrighteous flourish? How long will they receive blessing? But me trying to struggle for you, I'm facing the consequences. Look at Joseph in the Old Testament. He's put into slavery by his siblings. He's a little prideful, but he didn't deserve to be sold into slavery. He goes in, he's a slave, and he does that well for God's glory. He does everything well for God's glory. He goes into his master's wife, Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife comes out and says, Joseph, I want you. He says, you're a married woman. I'm not married to you. I'm out. What does he do? He runs away, right? He runs away. His tunic is ripped off of him as he's running out naked, not naked. Naked is when you do something wrong. Running out in his skivvies, away from sin. He faces consequences and goes to prison for his righteousness. And we look around at the unrighteous, we're like, man, I really want a house like that. I know God doesn't really have a sunroom in my floor plan, but I kind of want to add that. I see my neighbors, and I want to add what they have that I don't see in my life right now, because this house that Christ has me building in holiness is hard. And then the last one is we get lazy and we stop building, but we like to turn and blame God when it starts raining. I'm going to repeat that one. We get lazy in building this house of holiness, and we start complaining and we blame God when it starts raining, but we're the ones who had to put the roof on. Christ has given you salvation. He's given you the materials. He's given us a blueprint for holiness. He's given us everything we need to be holy. And yet we want what they have. We don't want what Christ has for us. And we stop building and we stop around the halfway through the first floor. It's work every single day. Every single day. And this is what Peter is illustrating for us, is build up this house. Be holy as Christ is holy, as we talked about last week. And then we get up there. And I will say, I don't want to be tied to slides. I don't want to be tied to points today. It's something that the Lord laid on my heart, so I'll have one slide today. If you like notes, pay really close attention. But we're going to read this morning 1 Peter chapter 2, continuing and building off of what Pastor Jonathan preached on last week. Is the idea of be holy as I am holy. So keep that in your mind, the forefront of your mind, as we read, starting in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, if you don't have your Bible, it's up here on the screen for anybody who needs it. If you don't have a Bible and you have a phone, download the Bible app, great resource. But starting in verse 1, it says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word so that you may grow up into your salvation if you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you again this morning, Lord. We cannot come before you enough, and we come before you again, and we ask that you open our hearts, Lord, that you open our minds, that you just put a mirror in front of us and show us who we are, God. God, I pray that there are those among us who can look in the mirror and just see your work, God. But I fear that so many are like me that just see my shortfallings, that see where I'm still struggling. And God, I pray that we would confess that. I pray that we would repent of that. I pray that we would seek after your holiness, Lord. Seek the nourishment of your word. And seek what you have for us this morning in your word, God. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So Peter goes into this idea of be holy as I am holy. Talking about Christ, be holy as Christ is holy, which is a high bar, but it is achievable through the Spirit. And he lays this out, as we talked about last week, and then doesn't give us the excuse of, well, Peter, I don't know how. Peter, you're not telling me how, you're just telling me an idea. And I feel like sometimes I can be guilty of putting that in front of our students of, hey guys, pursue Christ, but I don't get to this point of development of how this is how we do that. That is discipleship. And Peter is discipling the believers he's writing to here. This letter is a letter of discipleship. He's saying, be holy as Christ is holy. And here are three ways, he's very Baptist here, here are three ways that you can do it. Here are three easy verses for 2,000 years later. Weston's going to be able to preach three verses that are a mile deep. And praise God for that. I thank Jonathan for a heavy sermon last week and giving me a heavy one this week. And it's the Lord's will. But we see these things here of these are the steps. This is the outline to pursue holiness. And we love that outline. This is a list that we can put up on our mirror in the morning, that we can put up in our car, that we can look at every single day and say, man, these are my challenges today. That's how I operate. I have to write it down. I just erased my summer checklist because Super Summer starts next Monday. But on my board is a checklist of everything I needed to do to prep for the summer. Right? This is how I operate. And sometimes spiritually, this is how I operate too. But we see in verse 1 this really big challenge of therefore rid yourself of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. He pretty much covers everything here. And this parallels exactly what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. I have it underlined here. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry, because of these, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient, and you once walked in these things when you were living in them before you were a believer, but now put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Right? This is something that's not a one-off with Peter. This is something that Christ talked about. This is the purity that it spoke about in the Old Testament. And again, Peter hits the same thing. It's like God is trying to tell us something. Right? Like, it's like God is pointing us towards a relationship with Him in which we can be holy and pure and pursue Him. That, guys, we could go a day without sinning, which would be amazing. That we can look at Christ and say, Christ, I'm willing to fight. And He starts off with this challenge of rid yourself of these things. And we hear this and we say, man, malice is a big word. It's an old word. I don't think anybody uses it in their vocabulary now. If you do, good for you. That's a gold star. But we see this malice, and what does that look like now? I mentioned it a minute ago. It's this ill will towards others. And as somebody pursuing Christ, seeking after holiness, seeking to be like Jesus, lacking malice in our hearts, it's not towards just those in this room. It's towards literally everyone you interact with. Everybody. Whether you're driving down Garrett and someone pulls off in front of you, which will happen today, because it happens to me every day. You hit another one of those blasted red lights, which drives me insane. Like, traffic is a big struggle for me spiritually, and I only live in Enid. This is why I'll never be in Oklahoma City. But we struggle. It's ill will towards anybody. Maybe it's someone who said something bad against you. Maybe it's a family member who's making terrible choices right now. Maybe it's somebody in your Sunday school class who talked over you and hurt your feelings a little bit. Maybe it's me right now while I'm preaching on repentance. Like, it's ill will towards anybody. And Paul does not say, hey, once a day you're okay and excuse from me. He says, sorry, Peter, rid yourselves of all malice. And then we hit deceit. I've rid yourself of all deceit as well. And I thought about this. And I do not make an effort of lying. Whenever I was a teenager, I think my parents did a very, very good job of catching me in lies and lessening punishments whenever I told the truth. I would still get in trouble. There's consequences for everything. But the degree was less. And to a fault, I will be honest. This is not a bragging thing. It's super embarrassing. Like, I don't love it. But I think the one that we lie to the most is going to be the one that we can't lie to, and that being God. Is we'll stand here in worship and we'll say, God, I'll open up my hands to you and I will sing the words on these songs. Sing the words of these songs. I'll sit here under your word, but I can't promise this afternoon. I don't know what I'm going to get into this afternoon. I don't know what temptation I'll collapse into this afternoon. Is often we see all deceit and we think, let's not lie to one another. And that may be a struggle for you. But the one we lie to the most is the one who sees everything. And that's just foolishness. The God who sees our hearts, as Christ is on this earth and the Pharisees are doing this deceit, right? Christ didn't call out the unrighteous. He ate with the unrighteous. He called out those who were self-righteous. He called out to those who were lying to God. And we see deceit and we don't think about that. Is what were the Pharisees offering? They have the opportunity to lead the Jewish nation to the Messiah in person. To say, guys, He is here. But what did they do? They lie to God and say, I'm righteous, I don't need that. Jesus calls them out on this, doesn't he? He's in the street, he's teaching. Pharisees come out with a woman. She has no clothing on, she's caught in adultery. And he says, okay, we're going to stone her. That's what the law says. Let the one without sin cast the first stone. And one by one they walk away because they were lying to themselves and they were lying to God. And we continue down this hard path of now hypocrisy, of being two-faced. of saying that I'm one thing and pretending to be another thing. This is, I don't remember the Greek word because I'm terrible at Greek and it doesn't matter. The idea of hypocrisy comes from, it was a compliment in the first century for an actor who was so good at acting that they believed he was somebody else. And now it is a slanderous word. It is bad connotations for us of this two-faced. And maybe some of you are so good at acting right now that everybody around you thinks that you are a good, godly believer, but you know what's in your heart. And Paul here says, sorry, I keep doing that. No, it's Peter, no matter what I say. It's that Baptist habit of only being in Paul. But Peter here says, hey, no hypocrisy, no envy. Don't be jealous of your neighbor's house. Build a house in holiness. And then all slander. Do not say a negative word about anybody else. That's hard. I'm caught in that. Again, Donnie, we have great conversations, brother. This morning he asked me about a sister church in Oklahoma. A church that whenever I was in my early 20s, I slandered every chance I got. They're not like us. They don't do the things that we do. And the leadership, those who I looked up to, did the same thing. That was sin. Because that church now is preaching to somewhere around 80,000 people this morning. And you can't preach to 80,000 people without the Lord blessing that opportunity to share the gospel. Let no slander come from your mouth. My slander, and this thing I struggle with the most, isn't people around me. It's not the unrighteous. It's slandering the people of God, saying we could be better, rather than seeing what God is doing. That is my confession. It's looking at other churches saying, you're a little bit different than me. You follow a different guy than I do. You do a different thing than I do. You speak differently than I do. That's my slander. We look at all these things and we say, man, I want to be holy like Jesus. We like that idea. We like that concept. We want that. If you were a believer, you want to be holy like Jesus is, right? Yes? Amen? Yeah? We want to be like Jesus. Do you see Jesus doing a single one of these things? That's the hard thing. That's the challenge that we hear these verses. We're like, man, I can apologize again. I can move past all these things again. But we don't see Jesus and we don't think of Christ now seeing everything, knowing your heart, knowing my heart. We don't see Jesus be malicious. We don't see Jesus be deceitful. We don't see Jesus be hypocritical, envious, or slanderous in sexual sin, as Paul said, in greed, in lust, in drunkenness. We don't see Christ doing that. If you want to be like Jesus, then start with your sin. Because you can't build a foundation and you can't build a house on rotted material, but we want to use our own rather than using what Christ has for us. Is you want to know why churches are dying. Oklahoma Baptist, I'm a big stats guy. We talk about Oklahoma Baptist, Southern Baptist all the time in the office because we're proud of what the Lord is doing. We are down 20% in attendance since 2001. 20% down in attendance across the board. Not us. Every Oklahoma Baptist church, all 1,200 or so of us, are down 20% in attendance since 2001. We can't build something on a rotted foundation. The Lord isn't going to bless it unless we're repentant. And eventually, we have to stop looking at style, at structure, at the cosmetics. We have to stop looking at how our preachers preach. Are they young enough? Do they relate well enough to our community? We have to start looking at our own hearts as a church because we have to remember we are congregational. And we have to say, what am I repenting of and what am I holding back? Because we're not going to grow until every single one of us repents of our sin. Until every single one of us say, therefore, let me rid myself of these things. Man, I wish this was lighter this morning. As we see Jesus living and we see the life that he has lived and we say, God, I want to be like you, then Peter here starts with repentance, is rid yourselves of all of these things. It's not a try, it's a do. Sin is not excusable in the presence of God. So why is it excusable in our presence? And like I said earlier, I'm always guilty of no action steps. And I want to give you these action steps this morning. And we will get to the nourishment aspect and spend good time on it. But, and I might go a little long, I'm sorry, it's Memorial Day. Whenever I was young, my dad caught me in sin. I was about 12 years old. There's children, so he caught me with a computer. 12 years old, caught me with a computer. I didn't know how to delete stuff. Praise God for that because he was able to expose it. I said, Dad, I was not a believer at the time. And I said, Dad, I don't know how to get through this. I talked about this week, and he doesn't remember this, but I'll remember it the rest of my life. I said, Dad, I don't know how to get through this. 12 years old. The youngest of our students are 12. And he looked at me, he said, do you believe in Jesus? And at the time, I'm in a Christian home. I said, of course I do. He said, then don't do it. And at 12 years old, till now at 29, I remember thinking, up till last year, I remember thinking, that's impossible. Not just with this and with any sin, it's impossible. How can I just not do it? The struggle is too hard. The temptation is too hard. Specifically, this last 3 weeks, the Lord has set that memory in my mind over and over and over and reminded me of what my dad said of just don't do it. One of the most godly men that I know. He's probably watching right now. Hi, Dad. One of the most godly men that I know, and he said, just don't do it. And then I started this week, actually, thinking of these guys in Scripture. Joseph said, I'm just not going to do it, and he ran out, and he faced consequences for that, but God blessed him beyond what he knew was possible. He put him over the entire, half of the entire kingdom of Egypt, saved millions of people from famine because Joseph said, I'm going to honor God, I'm just not going to do it. You look at David and Bathsheba, all he had to do was walk inside. All David had to do was walk inside, and the kingdom of Israel would have not been split in civil war years down the road because of his sin right here. All Abraham had to do was just don't do it. Everybody in Scripture, all they had to do to avoid sin, and we get the bird's eye view, just don't do it and we'll go inside, go home. We can talk about it because we have to talk about it. There's an epidemic in the state of Oklahoma of teachers, of youth pastors, of coaches, of anybody working with kids being exposed as pedophiles. We can't ignore it anymore. As Oklahomans, we have to do something. We have to do something because I'm tired of it happening. A couple weeks ago in Choctaw, Nokomis, it happened again, and all this guy had to do was go home. Every single one of them, all they have to do is go home. Close your phone. Repent of your sin. Take it to God. Confess it to your wives. Stand beside each other in the church. All you have to do is go home. That's the action step to repentance. Repentance is not saying sorry every time you choose sin over your family, your church, and your God. Repentance is choosing your God. It is choosing Jesus because that is the desire within your heart. We've convinced and confused ourselves between confession and repentance. Confession is saying sorry and saying, God, these are the things I struggle with. You know it, but let me pull it out from the darkness of my heart into the light. Because again, as my dad taught me, darkness will not survive in the light. Pull your sin into light. That's confession. Our issue is we've confused confession for repentance. And we keep on saying, no, I have a repentant heart. I say sorry every time I sin. Like, do you hear that? How insane that sounds? Is I'm going to sin again, but I'm repentant because I say sorry. I put my sin above my spouse. I put my sin above my family. I put my sin above my church that I'm invested in. I put my sin above my God. Paul says, rid yourself of all of these because holiness requires repentance. And we continue down this. That was a lot of time. I'm so sorry. But holiness requires nourishment. As Paul continues here, is holiness requires nourishment. With verse 2, like newborn infants, desire the pure milk of the word so that you may grow up into your salvation. There's two parts here that I really need to illustrate here, that I really need to point at. Is one, desire the pure milk of the word of God. That is the desire for our nourishment. And two, so that you may grow in your salvation. We believe firmly that it is biblical doctrine that salvation is in faith alone. But your spiritual growth isn't. What does James say? Faith without works is dead. You can have faith and you can have salvation. If you want to stay at the ground floor of salvation from the time you came down right here at 7 years old and got in that baptistry right there and got baptized, if you want to stay at that ground floor, you will still go to heaven. You still have faith in Jesus Christ. But I don't know a single person who has faith in Jesus Christ that wants to stay there. Every believer I know wants to grow and wants to be more because they want to be more like Jesus. We have faith alone in our salvation, but we pursue holiness and it requires nourishment. Peter says right here, desire the pure milk of the Word of God. Desire that nourishment. And we see that and we're like, man, I feel well fed. Right, I go to church, I'm in Sunday school. I think right now, 21st century, I think that's the one we're in right now, 21st century American Christianity is the most well-fed, oversaturated generation of the church that has ever existed. And I praise God for that. But the greatest paradox in the American church is that we're well-fed but malnourished. We're well-fed, but we are malnourished. We're not taking in nutrients. We want self-righteous samples rather than the purity of God's word. It's like if you had the opportunity today to go eat a free steak dinner. Free steak dinner, but you say, man, I'd rather go to Sam's and get some samples. Right? That's where we're at. Is we take these samples and it's like, man, 1 hour. Actually, not even an hour. It is an hour from the beginning of announcements to the end of this sermon. It'll be a little bit more than today. God be praised. But 1 hour, and then maybe you go to a Bible study this week. So 2 hours out of your entire week, you're taking these samples rather than desiring God's word, rather than having this challenge hit our hearts. And guys, it's not, I mean, the other section of this is eat well and eat often. But it's not high theology and the saints long in the presence of God that we're pursuing. I listen to that stuff. I love that stuff. It nourishes me, but I've been oversaturated to the point where I had to back off of it some days because it's not about that. Peter right here says it's just God's word. When it comes to God's word, be like my infant baby daughter right there pursuing nourishment. Because let me tell you, whenever she's not nursed at 3 a.m., she lets me know. She lets mom know. That's not my shift. It will be tonight. But she lets us know. Desire God's word. And when you don't get it, cry out and say, God, I want more. We're oversaturated. I have 4 Bibles in my office and 5 at home. The first century church he's writing to didn't have this. And they're crying out saying, God, speak to us. Send us a letter. Maybe we'll get one from Paul and maybe it'll be nice this time. Like they're crying out for anything. Because it's not just this. They've been kicked out of the synagogue. They don't get the Torah. They don't get the scrolls controlled by the religious leaders. They don't get any of that, and they're crying out to God's word. And he's saying, guys, I know you don't have it, but pursue that. Pursue the pure milk of God's word. I know it's hard to find. To our brothers and sisters in Africa, in Sudan, facing a civil war for like 15 years now, they don't have these Bibles. Our brothers and sisters in the jungle don't have a Bible in their language, and we've had it for 500 years. Pursue the pure milk of God's word and desire it as an infant pursues and cries out for the nourishment of that bottle. Don't substitute. Don't find an alternative. Find God's word and have nourishment because the substitutes won't nourish you. It's not just be well fed because we can go to McDonald's and I'll go to Chick-fil-A and still be hungry because it's not nourishing. And I feel like that's blasphemy. I'm sorry. But it's not what we need. We need God's word. I can read R.C. Sproul, I can read John MacArthur, I can read Calvin, I can read Luther, I can read all of these guys. But if I'm not in God's word, then I'm malnourished. But at the same time, you can listen to me preach, you can listen to Jonathan preach, you can listen to the guys on YouTube preach, but if you're not in God's word, you're malnourished. As Peter right here says, holiness requires repentance, holiness requires nourishment. If you want to see the proof in this, then give me a week. Give me a week where you make time to eat, where you form a community to eat with, and where you eat more than once a day. When we start talking about God's word, different than just reading and studying, and the language we use often, use it as eating. Try eating once a day. Let's see how that goes. Because I'm grumpy. Let's be grumpy when we don't engage with God's word. Let's be frustrated when we don't engage with God's people. Let it make a difference in your life if you go an hour without talking to Jesus. This is a challenge for me too. Full confession for you, I spent more time in prayer over this sermon right here than I ever have. I spent more time this week pursuing God's holiness and in God's word and listening to things that nourish me rather than things that I enjoy for this sermon in preparation. And just this week, I see a difference. Pursue God's word. Make time to eat. Eat with your community and eat more than once a day. And when we do this, when we live in repentance, when we live in repentance, not just visit repentance, when we're fighting, when we're pursuing the nourishment of God's word, I can promise you 3 things this morning. If you do this week, it will be a fight every single day. If this is not already where you are, and believers, if you are there already and you're saying, man, I do these things, I know, like you won't admit it because of the humility of our spirits, but if you're already there, then you know these 3 things are true. This week will be a battle every single day. Because the enemy doesn't want you to confess your sin. The enemy wants to hide it again and again and again. The enemy doesn't want you to repent. He wants you to see it as not repentable or not worthy of repenting for. Every day, the enemy will claw at you, and I'll give you a step up. Your own self will reject pursuing God. It's not always Satan. Sometimes we have to admit it's our minds and our hearts and our eyes that are sinning, that are drawing us away from God. It is ourself and our sinful nature that we refuse to let go of because we're malnourished and we can't fight that nature. Is this week will be a battle. Two, once you're through it, you won't want to go back. I know guys who grew up alcoholics. They, on a bet, a friend of mine on a bet, spent 30 days without alcohol, wasn't a believer, just said, got in a fight and said, bet, I won't do it. 30 days later, he said, I don't want to go back. Because if it made me feel that bad and it makes me feel this good not having it, I don't want to do it anymore. And if we pursue God's nourishment, then we're not stopping because you see that it is good. If you live in repentance and start realizing that you don't have to sin if you bring it before God, you will be tempted, but you don't have to give into it because you have the power of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of you if your confession that Jesus Christ is Lord is true. You won't want to go back. And the third thing is, as Peter says here, if you have seen that the Lord is good, you will see the goodness of God more clearly than you ever have in your entire life. If you are close to God in repentance, you are in God's word, being nourished by God's word, you will see God's goodness more than ever before. We have to remember, we're not pursuing our own holiness. And there might be some who walk out today, man, he's preaching holiness, that it's all in us. It's not. It's not in us. So I want to take that right out, is it's not in us. This is God's holiness. And the thing about this holiness is the more we pursue the holiness of God and the more we live in repentance, not just saying sorry every time we sin, but we truly reject our sin, we kill our sin, we hate our sin, we hate that part of us that no longer needs to be a part of us. We rid ourselves of that. As we are pursuing God's nourishment in His Word, and daily, multiple times a day, we are in God's Word, we are praying, we are discussing God's Word, we are talking to other believers, encouraging each other about God's Word. The more we do these things, the closer you will become in your relationship with God. The holier you will become because you are in God's holiness and in His grace and you are in God's presence. Lean into His presence. This isn't our own holiness. And the more and more we draw closer to God's holiness and His goodness, the more we see who He is. It's no more living in a roof that's half built without a roof, saying, God, the rain's coming, send it away. I don't want to deal with struggles. Rather than, God, thank you for the roof. It's not quite done yet, but I know you're working. I'm going to get through this struggle. I'm going to get through this trial. Our mindsets begin to shift whenever we're pursuing God's holiness, when we're living in repentance, when we're nourishing ourselves. When we're in His Word, we begin to see His goodness more and more and more. And the more familiar we grow with the presence of God, the easier holiness becomes daily in our lives. So we have a couple of things before we end. I'll give you three challenges. We'll do an invitation in a moment. And then Maddie Lepard will be a missionary in Romania here in a couple weeks. So we're going to do a commissioning for her after the invitation. But family, I want to give you three challenges to walk away from this morning. We see holiness, we see repentance, but I want something that you can write down, and I want something that you can take away and say, hey, this is achievable. I want to empower you with that this morning. Is the first one, do not leave sin in your life. This isn't me saying it, this is God's Word saying it. Paul in Colossians saying, put it to death, bury it, be done with it, put it in a mass grave if that's what you need. Peter, continuing that, of rid yourself of all of these things. Do not let sin sit in your life. I don't know if you know this or not. God will expose your sin. I don't want that. I want to confess it now on my own terms and bring it before the Father saying, God, forgive me. God exposes our sin, and God has every right to take our life, and we forget that. But Ananias and Sapphira had deceit in their hearts, went before the leaders of the church, said that we've given everything. What did Paul do to them for lying? God took them, he took them home. God can take me home right now, and I pray God takes me home right now if I stand in the way of the gospel. That's hard. So we don't leave sin in our lives. The second thing, use this community and form a diet plan with Scripture. Use the community around us. I had a student struggling with something a couple weeks, or this last week, And they messaged me about it. I said, use the community around you. And God gave it to us. Don't let it go to waste. Guys, talk to each other about Scripture. Encourage each other with Scripture. Ask each other if you're in Scripture. Use this community that God has given us so that we can find nourishment together. And then finally, this week, look for the goodness of God in your life. I hate to say it because Jonathan makes fun of it all the time, and it's fine. I was listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago, and it's not a like theology podcast. It's not a pastor. It's just a Christian guy that likes to talk to people. That's all this is, and that's what I enjoy listening to, is just people casually talking about Christ. And he's talking to this Christian hip-hop artist. He said, man, the biggest struggle with me as a believer early on was I would feel the presence of God and not lean into it, and I would become skeptical of the presence of God because I would just say, hey, am I making it up? You guys, look for the goodness of God this week and fall into his presence. Be in the presence of God, and when you feel God stirring, then follow him. We don't go a step without God going first. Whether it's sharing the gospel with a lost community, whether it's discipleship, the confession and the repentance of sin, nourishment in God's word, find the presence of God this week and lean on the Holy Spirit. Lean on the Holy Spirit to lead you to holiness. So I'll close up with this. I'll pray. The altar is going to be open up here if anybody, if you need to come and pray and you just say, need to say, God, I need repentance. I need to lay this before your altar. You don't have to tell me. I'm not the high priest. Jesus is. If you need someone to talk to, I'll be down here to pray with you. We'll have who's over there now? Dakota's going to be over there praying. Be praying for Erin Melanie. She's not feeling well. But Dakota's going to be over there if anybody needs prayer after the service. But let's use this time genuinely and intentionally. Let's worship God. Let's confess our sins. Let's seek what God has in the life of our church and the life of our community. After we're done with invitation, Maddie Lepard will come up here. We're going to pray over her. Pray that the Spirit walks with her as she shares the gospel and goes to those who the Lord has prepared for them to engage with. But let's join together in prayer and invitation this morning. Father God, you know our hearts, Lord, and that is a thought that fills me with fear. You know where we're at, and you know who and what we need in our lives, Lord. I pray that you would lead us in your word this morning, that you would lead us to rid our lives of all malice, of all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander, Lord, that you would pull these sins from our lives, Lord, that you would lead us to repentance, that we would be broken before the throne knowing that we are pulling ourselves away from your presence, but that we would hunger for your word and your presence, and we would just draw closer to you, Jesus. I pray that if we don't repent, then you would continue exposing it, Lord, that you would continue moving through us, that you would continue working within our community, and that you would expose our sins so that we can continue the work of the gospel without these barriers in the way, God. I pray that you do not allow us to take another step without repentance in our hearts, God. I pray that you would lead us to nourishment in your word, that you would give us a desire, as you have given my infant daughter the desire to eat and have nourishment in her life, that we would have the same thing in our lives for your word, that we would cry out to you saying, God, feed me. God, give me the strength that I need, that we would be changed by your word, God. God, I pray for holiness for our church, Lord. I pray that you give us a path forward so that we can pursue this holiness, that we can be holy as you are holy, Lord. Because I know that Enid needs the gospel. I know that our communities need the gospel, Lord. And we will not be able to be used unless we get to this point where we say, I want to be just like Jesus. God, I know that the lost are not attracted by lights and shining and glimmer and someone who can speak well, Lord. I know that the lost are not attracted to any of that because they've seen that, but they are attracted to you, Jesus. And I pray that we live in such a way that we just show you to the world without worrying about anything else. Pray right now that you would call us to repentance, that if people need to come down in salvation this morning, that they would. That they want to be baptized in obedience, that they would. That they want to be a part of this community, Lord, that they would. But above all of that, God, I pray that you would call the believer living in sin forward in repentance, that you would lead us broken, God. I pray that you would bless this moment of worship and bless us, Lord. In your name I pray. Invitation's open. Let's stand and worship.